Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Come on, I didn't hear nothing.
Good evening.
That's a little better. Thank you. It's good to be back in God's house, isn't it?
Thank you.
All right. I'm kind of filling in for Brother Jim tonight. So, you got the other Jim. You got the young Jim. Excuse me. I didn't say that. If you're watching, brother. You know, but anyway, but it's good to be back into God's house tonight.
Amen.
And so let's do this. Let's start off with a congregational hymn, if you would stand. We're going to do 345, which is Where Could I Go? I would ask ushers to come for offering, but Brother Tony? Thank you, brother. If you don't mind, you want to bless the offering? Thank you. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Three special singers. So we're going to start with Sister Jennifer over there, if she would do a number for us, please. Then Sister Karen, and then Sister Lisa.
Lord, praise the Lord. It's good to be here.
Yes.
And praise the Lord for his many blessings. I'm going to try this. It's in E flat. He will carry you. Y'all just worship as I sing. There is no problem so hard God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so big He cannot move it. There is no storm cloud so dark God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulder, I know my brother that He
the weight of the world.
Let's see if you can use anything.
Sheltered in A flat major. Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last smile you must try. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms reach high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. And not of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
In the arms of God. I wonder if we could get the praise team and do look what the Lord has done. We can do that, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, praise team. How many is thankful for what the Lord has done?
Amen.
Amen. He's done a lot. Amen. I often say he's a busy God. There's a lot of prayers going up, but there's a lot of prayers being answered too. We're hearing and reading some good reports from the text blast. We're getting some good reports from Kevin. Man, you know, the Lord is helping him in that. And the blood that was thickening and all is gradually coming down. And the capsules that they put him on is working. So we're thankful for that. Just God's done a lot of things. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So,
look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my
Well, praise the Lord. Put me on the spot. I'm to testify. What? There's so much to testify about. I mean, what has the Lord not done for us? The one thing that pops in my mind is the struggles that I was going through with my job last year, and it even started before all that. And I just kept praying about it and praying about it. And I knew God had a purpose for me, and I knew He was going to put me where He wanted me to be, but it just didn't seem there was a way, because I could not, in my mind, I couldn't leave Paulding County because my girls go there. Katie's in high school. She doesn't want to change. So I thought, okay, Lord, we got to open a door in Paulding. But then it was narrowed because I teach a very specific group of kids. So there's not like that in every school. So I was like, okay, God, you got to make a way. You got to make a way. And I just, you kept preaching. I kept hearing on the radio. Tony kept telling me. Everybody I talked to was like, be still and wait. Wait on the Lord. Like, okay. I'm waiting, but it's getting harder and harder. This is stressful. But anyway, long story short, God opened a door, and there was like, it was only God. Like, there was no other way that door could have opened without God opening it. And I thought, okay, this is new territory for me, but you opened it. I have to go. So I'm there, and it's just so different. It's like He's restored joy into me. And I know we shouldn't let our job rob us of our joy, but sometimes it does because we're there for how many hours out of our day? And I'm just so thankful because I go to work, I enjoy it, I get to help students, and it's just renewed me. So I'm hoping 10 more years, it'll renew me for 10 more, but I'm so thankful. And I'm just so in love with the Lord that He just gives us the things that might seem small, but it can just restore our whole outlook and our whole joy. And I thank y'all for your prayers, and I love you guys, and that's all. Okay.
I just want to say that I love the Lord tonight, and I thank Him for His many blessings and all that He's done for me, all that He's done for my family. As you know, Chris is battling some health issues, and he's going to be having scans this week. And according to what the doctor said, depending on the scans, he may have to have emergency surgery. But y'all just help me pray and believe that God's going to continue to touch his body. He hasn't been able to eat very much without just hurting. So he's lost a total of, I think, around 32 pounds since surgery. Losing weight's always a good thing, but you don't want to not be able to eat, you know, and be sick all the time. But I'm just thankful that God has his hand on Chris and that he's brought him this far, and I know that he's going to carry him on through it. I believe for a miracle. I do believe. I know what he's done for me. He's no respecter of any person. And I just thank him for touching my body. I know some of you know I have bursitis in my hip, and it's very painful. I start physical therapy this week, but I'm trusting God to heal it too. That's what me and Sister Alice came up for prayer this morning, because she's battling a lot in her body the same as I. And the Bible says if any were to agree that it shall be done. So we claim our healings. Amen. If you need something tonight, he's here. Just give it to him. Amen.
Amen. God. How many believe that God's able to do all things?
Yes. Yes.
Man. Sister Karen touched on something that sometimes is very hard for Christians to do, and that's wait on the Lord. You see, because we're so used to having God immediately touch and make quality, and he does, he still does that. Sometimes for whatever his reasoning is, and you know, sometimes as we said this morning, his thoughts and his ways are higher than ours. Sometimes we don't understand why he waits. And I don't really think he's waiting. He's just working it out right. We're the ones that's waiting in great anticipation. Let's do it. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your arms.
Intend to keep you a very long time tonight. So thankful that you came out tonight. I know we have a lot of people who are traveling and a lot of people who are out of town, but we're thankful that the Spirit of the Lord is here tonight, and we're thankful for you together with us tonight. In the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, I would like to begin with verse number 11. Bring a thought tonight. When we seek God, when we seek God. Jeremiah the prophet writes in the 29th chapter, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your blessing, for your anointing, for your holy presence, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, you would just speak to us tonight. God, I pray that you'll pour out of your Spirit and your anointing upon this congregation. Help us, God, to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, we remember those who are in need of prayer. Many are sick, many are afflicted. God, we know that you're aware of each and every need. And by faith, we reach out to you tonight, God, to touch, to anoint, and to heal those, God, who stand in need of prayer. Father, again, our hearts are heavy for so many who are lost and undone. And again, we pray, God, that you would prick their hearts, convict their soul, bring them to an altar of repentance. And Father, we pray for a great revival in this land. And we'll look to you to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. For just a little while, we want to talk about seeking God, what it really means to seek God. We're not seeking God because he cannot be found. We're not seeking God because he's a million miles away. We're seeking God because we need his presence. And basically, that's what one writer said. When we seek God, we seek his presence. We seek his anointing. It may be for healing. It may be for deliverance. It may just be that we want a closer walk with the Lord. But for whatever reason that we choose, we seek God's presence. And the Hebrew translation for that is we seek the face of God. Amen. And when we have that one-on-one attention with God, we're able to pour out our heart, pour out our need to the Lord. And how many knows that God is aware of our needs, but he still wants us to bring those needs to him? Now, we know here, according to the prophet, that Jeremiah, here God speaks to him, and he wants us to know that God already knows what he wants for us. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because what we want doesn't always coincide with what God wants for us. So many times when we're seeking God, we're seeking his will, and we have to change our expectations so many times to seek the will of God. Not it's what I want, God, it's what you want for me. He already knows. One in the place he says he already to give us an expected end. But he wants to give us peace, not evil. Man, and how many knows that we're living in an evil time, in an evil world? There's perverseness in the world today. There's confusion. There's frustration. There's anxiety all around us. But God can give us peace even in the midst of all of these storms that surround us. How many of us have ever had that peace of God just gently speak to our soul and speak to our spirit and calm us down even in one of the most terrible storms that we face? And I'm not always talking about a physical or natural storm. So many times it's an emotional storm. Sister Karen was talking about the stress factor. We would sit at the dinner table a lot of times, and she would begin to talk about how frustrated she was with the situation. And, you know, we all prayed, and we all sought God, and we encouraged her. But it had to be in God's time, because I believe that God was formulating a plan even as we prayed. And so many of us see that situation as well when we go to the Lord in prayer. But he does want peace for us and not evil. And he says for us to call upon him, or call upon me, and pray to me, and he will hear us. And even after we pray to him and he hears us, he goes on to say, seek me. Seek me. Seek that face. Seek that presence of God. And when we seek for him and search for him with all of our heart, then God will be there to meet our need, to make a way, to open a door, whatever the situation calls for. When we seek his presence again, we're mainly seeking attentiveness or attention with God. We can be able to go in to the presence of God. And how many is thankful that we do have access, amen, to the throne of grace? We often talk about that. I don't think we thank God enough for that partition or that veil that was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, we had access to come in to the presence of Almighty God. You have that presence. You have that opportunity, and you have that authority to go before the Lord anytime, day or night. You don't have to be put on a waiting list. You don't have to hear God say, I'll get back with you later. But how many is thankful he's an on-time God and we can go to him whenever that need arises? I wanted to talk about a story tonight from the book of 2 Chronicles. In the 15th chapter, we have a very unique example of seeking God, and that God wants us to seek him. I want to begin reading in the 15th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. You can read along with me there if you wish. I'm going to read the first seven verses. And bear with me tonight as I read this, because I believe that we need to read that to lay some groundwork to what God would have us to understand tonight. In the 15th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, verse number 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor did him to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. And then it's almost as the prophet changes gears. In verse number 7, he speaks to the king of Judah, Asa by name, and he says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. As I was reading that, and as those scripture texts led me over there and read that story, it had been a long, long time since I had read that, but it began to be almost an unveiling of the circumstances and the turbulence that's in the land today. Cities against cities, nations destroyed, people vexed with all type of vexation, sickness, affliction, disease, all the many things that are transpiring in the world today. Simply because I believe that the people of the world have turned their devotion, turned their affection from God, and turned it to natural things, seeking someone else to lift them out of the situation rather than turning our attention to God. Amen. In troubled times, the Bible explicitly tells us time and time again to seek God, to seek Him. When things are not going our way, to seek Him. When we're sick, we need to seek Him, seek His face, seek that attentiveness, that ability to come before the presence of God. Do we realize what a wonderful benefit that is to be able to come to God ourselves? We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through anyone else, but God will listen to us, and we can go boldly before Him, and it doesn't have to be in a temple. It doesn't have to be in a sanctuary or a church, but it can be wherever that a need arises. We have that opportunity to go before the Lord. If you're thankful for that tonight, give Him praise for that. Amen. Because we have that opportunity. So here is Asa, who is now king of Judah. Now, you Bible readers remember that at this particular time, there was the nation of Israel, or the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom of Judah. Israel had become divided. There was some complications that arose and some strife in between the northern and the southern kingdoms. So they each went their separate ways, and now they had their own king. Now, being of the same house and lineage, they were all Israelites, but divided, amen, in their nations and their own jurisdictions and their own kingdoms, but they were aware of what was going on one with another. Now, the prophet Azariah, according to Bible history, was a very little known prophet. Not like Jeremiah, not so much the attention that Isaiah got or some of the other major prophets, but yet he was still a prophet. Amen. And a prophet to be used by God. You know, sometimes I think that we think that God only speaks to certain people or to certain ministers or to certain pastors. How many knows that's not the case? God still speaks to His people. The people that will listen to Him, the people that will seek Him, and the people that will search for Him with their whole heart. You'll always find God, amen, able to listen to you and able to meet that need. So the prophet Azariah goes to Asa. Now, you got to understand that Asa had just taken over the kingship of Judah, which was Judah and Benjamin together. His father was an evil person. And really, the evilness was because he didn't do the things that were pleasing unto God. That's all the Bible says. He did those things which were unpleasing or displeasing unto God. But his son comes along after the death of his father, and the Bible simply says he did those things which were pleasing unto God. Mainly, it referred to the tearing down of the idols, tearing down the groves and the trees that his father had allowed idolatry or the worship of idols to creep in to the nation or to the kingdom of Judah. So Asa begins to rid the nation of that, getting rid of those things. But Asa takes it a little bit farther. And I want you to think about this in a spiritual connotation, not only just a natural preparation, but being spiritually prepared. I mean, he knows it's easier to have an audience with God, so to speak, when we're spiritually prepared. I know I've told you this story, and I hope I don't lose my train of thought here, but I've told this story about two preacher brothers who worked in the same mill with my granddaddy. That were the O'Kelly brothers. Both of them were ministers. Both of them were precious saints of God, had been for a long, long time. Brother Paul and Brother Leroy. Leroy was a jolly person. He liked to have jokes and tell jokes and cut up and all. And he worked on one side of the mill, and Paul, his brother, worked on the other side of the mill. Well, Paul fell ill and began to hemorrhage. So in his words, he said, go get my brother to have him come pray for me. So they was running across the mill on the other side to get Leroy. And when they came to Leroy, Leroy's laughing and cutting up and telling a joke. So he told this testimony. He said, when they come to Leroy and said, Leroy, your brother Paul is laying and he's hemorrhaging and he's calling for you to come pray for him. So Leroy takes off running across the mill, and he told this testimony later. He said, on my way to pray for my brother, I had to stop and pray for myself first. Had to prepare myself to be able to pray for him. He wasn't lost. He wasn't backslidden. His mind just wasn't in the right frame of mind to go before the Lord. How many knows when we go to the Lord, it is a serious matter? God wants us to be serious when we seek his face. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, seek me with all of your heart. Well, anyway, Leroy was able to pray for Paul. They got him to the emergency room, and everything worked out. And both of them would give that testimony. Both of them went on to have a long and wonderful life of ministering. Both of them were pastors at one time. But God healed Paul. But Leroy said, you know what? Before I could pray for my brother, I had to pray for myself. Don't let that happen to us when somebody calls us and says, would you pray for me? You know, we need to be instant in prayer. We need to be able to seek the Lord right then and say, God, on behalf. First of all, somebody has placed confidence in your prayer to ask you to pray for them. So when we join together and pray one for another, that God will come on the scene. So now getting back, here we go. Asa has prepared. He's made preparations. And the preparations that he had made was he saw that the nation and the cities were defenseless. Now this is a material, natural thing that he's seeing, but I want you to think about it also in a spiritual sense. But he sees these cities and he says, we need to build up these cities because we're just basically sitting targets for an invasion, for people to come in and take us over. So he begins to prepare and build up the cities, and he begins to build walls. The Bible says he builds walls and he builds, walls and towers and gates and bars. That's in the 14th chapter, verse number 7. Before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. God will honor when we prepare and build up our spiritual life for him. So as he's building this up, he also builds up his army. His army is greatly numbered, and the Bible calls them mighty men of valor. And he combines them with Benjamin's army, and they're a really a good fighting force. And just when all of this happens, the Ethiopian army is preparing to invade them. Now, God works in mysterious ways. Can you just wave if you believe that? That's what the Bible said. God works in mysterious ways. You know what that means? Sometimes we don't have no clue what he's doing. We don't understand. But if we put our faith and trust in him, we know that God is going to make a way. So if God lays it on our heart to go into a fast, to go into a prayer vigil, to begin to seek or read scriptures, you can assure that there is a reason for that. Amen? There may be something on the horizon that we have no idea that we're going to face, but God is preparing us for that time and for that day. So the armies are built up, the cities are built up, they're strengthened, they've got towers and bars and gates and all these things around. And just when the armies are ready and totally prepared, the army from Ethiopia invades them. And Asa and his kingdom are victorious, so much so that they overwhelm the Ethiopians and run them back. And they're just having, you know, a victory dance, just exalting God for being on their side. And now we find Azariah coming to Asa on the battlefield, and he tells him this. First of all, he says, for a long season, Israel, you know, the southern kingdom, hath been without the true God. And basically what he said, you saw what happened to them. You saw how they were overrun. You saw how that all of these things come upon him. Then he begins to talk about some of these things that happens when we are without God, when we are not seeking God, when we are not prepared for those things that we're going to face. He said, without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Be thankful for the ministry. Be thankful for the teachers. Be thankful for the prayer vigils. Be thankful for the Bible studies and all of those wonderful things, because what you're doing is basically preparing your soul, amen, for anything the devil or the adversary comes against you with. Amen. Put on the whole armor. Brother Tony was sharing with me this morning. They studied that in children's church. And thank God for children's church. They're not out there just having a good time and playing and all. They're having a good time, but they're studying the Word of God. So he gave them the opportunity, and they had to come up with armor just with things that were around there. It was amazing. If you ever get with Brother Tony, look at some of the pictures that they had. They were shod with the preparation of the gospel, which was basically shoeboxes. Was that right? Because that's what they found. And the helmet of salvation, it looked like one was a Coca-Cola bottle. I'm not a bottle, but a box, a Coca-Cola bottle. But it was really, really cute. But they got the concept of being prepared and putting on the whole armor of God. So as Azariah is telling Asa, Israel didn't do that. This is the reason Israel was caught. Amen. They were caught unprepared. And folks, let us take a lesson for that. Let's be prepared, because you don't know, I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. But if we're prepared with the gospel of Christ and the helmet and the breastplate of righteousness and all of those wonderful things, it'll be much easier, because we will be protected when we seek God with all of our heart. But he says they have without the true teaching and a priest without law. But when, listen to this, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. But when they turned to God, God was found of them. We ought to preach that to every city, every state, every nation under the face, under the sun. Amen. That we need to turn to God. If we want true peace, if we want true contentment, then we must seek God with all of our heart. The church needs to know that, or should already know that, but I just wish the rest of the world would know that and understand that if it would simply turn things around. You know, people are looking for answers, and how can we fix this, and how can we fix that, and it's stressful to see all the things that are coming down around us. But one simple thing, I believe with all of my heart, would begin to turn things around if we as a nation would again turn to God and begin to seek him with all our heart. Amen. And seek the God, amen, that is the God of all things. So he tells him then, verse number 7, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, this is a strange commandment, if you would, simply because of the timing. The timing is that Asa has just won a convincing battle. Overwhelming, convincing battle. He feels pretty good now about his kingship. He feels pretty good about his army. He's united with Benjamin and his army, and the tribes are together, and they're looking mighty strong. They saw where the southern kingdom, man, had missed it with God, but they repented, and God began to bless them again. So they're feeling pretty good, and here comes this little old prophet, one that is not really well known. If you follow the Bible, sometimes we don't even see that name again as it applies to that particular prophet. We see the name Azariah again, but maybe not that particular lesser prophet. But he had a message, and that message was to be strong. If there was a message that needed to go out to the church today, it's be strong. Even though you've just won a battle, even though you've just tasted victory, even though God has blessed you mightily, continue to be strong, continue to be prepared, and continue, amen, to let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And the reason we need to know and understand that is because Asa took it to heart. The king took it to heart. Now, sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes our warning falls on deaf ears. Sometimes sermons are not heeded. Sometimes the word of God is simply read and not obeyed. But when we truly seek God and we seek his presence and we seek his face, God is always the answer to every situation, every problem, and everything that we face. This was not the case with Asa. Asa heard with his ears, and he heard with his heart, insomuch that he began to clean his own house. Amen. When we want to get somewhere with God, the first thing we need to do is, like Brother Leroy said, let's check our standing with God. Let's check and make sure that everything is what it needs to be. Amen. When we begin to pray, when we begin to seek God, God, is everything right with me? Lord, am I where I want to, you want me to be? Am I doing what you want me to do? So Asa takes it to heart. The first thing he does is goes into his house, which is his kingdom and his palace, and his mother, of all things, is still there. And first thing he does is strips her of her authority and her power, because she still was leaning toward idolatry worship because his dad had allowed that to come in. Sometimes it's hard when some of your family are not believers. Sometimes it's hard when they don't understand. You know, I've even heard people, in fact, very people that I'm very, very close to, say, why do you go to church all the time? Well, basically I heard one person say, they asked him, say, why do you go to church 3 times a week? He said, that's all they have it. In other words, there's a desire. There's a desire. Going to church is not going to save you. That's not what I'm talking about. But I love the fellowship of the saints, because I need your prayers. I need to, amen. I need to have those Christians with me, helping me pray for situations. So it's an honor for me to come to church. So the first thing he does, he goes into his house and he, you know, strips her of her authority. In other words, removes her from her authority in the palace. Because he says, you know, we're not going to do that. We've seen the effects of idolatry. We've seen the effects of worshiping other than Jehovah God. And all of these things, he begins to make preparation for. And the Bible tells us that for the next 34 years, I think it was, there was peace. Understand, he didn't come into a peaceful situation. Sometimes we don't want to wait. Sometimes we want to instantly turn around. But what I got out of this, when we really seek God, and here's what Azariah said. He said, when we seek him, if we seek him, he will be found. He will be found. If we earnestly come before God, he will listen. I dare say none of us have ever heard from God telling us that, you know what, check back with me later. I'm just a little bit too busy now. I have never found that to be the case. No matter what time it is, no matter what day it is, no matter if it's the middle of the night. You know, sometimes we think God's asleep. No, he's not. Amen. Even in the middle of the night, we can pray and reach the throne of God, and God will answer us. If we seek him, he will be found. He said, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So the preparation that we need as Christians, and you know, all it is just, you know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And we know that's going to be an impossibility for us to kneel at the altar and pray. You know, that's just not going to happen. But we can go with a prayer on our heart, and a prayer on our hearts, and even with our lips. It's okay to pray while you're driving. Just don't close your eyes. But pray while you're driving. Amen. And pray while you're at work. Get into a habit of praying before you walk into the office. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. It can simply be, God, I need you today. Be with me. You know, help my family. You can pray a very important and wonderful prayer in the span of just minutes. Amen. And it'll bless you during that day, and it'll help you be prepared. So learn to seek God with all of your heart, with all of your mind. Amen. And God will, in fact, make a way for us. I found that to be a very intriguing story and a wonderful story, and I wanted to share that with you tonight and bring in the fact, amen, that preparation goes a long, long way. And I began to check myself, because many times I've entered into a prayer unprepared, if you know what I mean. You know, other things have crowded out my mind. I'm not saying that, you know, you're lost, you're undone, you're backslidden just because your mind wanders, but many, many times we find ourselves really needing to get in touch with the Lord. We hadn't done a whole lot of preparation. We hadn't done a lot of reading, a lot of studying, a lot of fasting, and just saying, Lord, you know what? I'm going to give you this time. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to flip the television off. I'm going to hang the phone up. Or I'm going to give you this undivided attention and worship you and pray for you, even when things are going good. Because I found that when you do that, then when things go bad, you're more spiritually prepared to go before the presence of God. Amen. And I'm not saying you got to be prayed up all the time to go to the Lord in prayer, because many times I've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I just need you to touch me. You know, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a rough time. Amen. I just need you to touch me, to lift me up, and ensure me, amen, that you're with me. We need that assurance sometimes. Even though we hear it over and over and over, God won't forsake us unless we forsake him. But if we seek him, he will be found. And if we pray to him and search him with all of our heart, he will answer our prayers. So they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Amen. God bless you. Love you so very much. We're going to let you leave a little early tonight. Amen. Unless you need prayer. So if you stand with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need prayer tonight, amen, those of you that may be having a sickness or affliction, this altar is open for each and every one of us. So let's be in prayer for that tonight as well. Amen. Some of you elders gather around, and if you need prayer, come on down and we'll pray for you. We never, ever want to dismiss a service without giving an opportunity to come. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you know the need, and you see the situation. God, of his precious heart. God, he's been a mentor and a friend. God, the brother Jim, all of these years. Father, I know it's a bad situation. We see our loved ones go fast. But Father, he's in your hands. And I pray, God, that whatever your will is, God, that we'll accept it. God, if you're ready to call him home, I pray, God, that he's totally ready. God, I pray that you would give him a wonderful time. God, take him a peaceful time. God, it may be your will to heal. Whatever your will be, God, we accept it. But I do pray for peace and comfort for this family. God, I pray that you'll be with him. God, I know the Lord is yours, God, to be with him. God, we know that you're by faith. Lord, your Holy Spirit is with him to comfort him, to bless him. In Jesus' name, we pray for his love. By the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Have your will and your kingdom. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.
With a melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to
Amen. How many is thankful for that? We are a child of God. Anyone else?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When Sister Penny and I was reading that text, we both said, that's a wonderful miracle, a mighty miracle, amen, because he had several things going on in his life. And the doctor was totally amazed, you know. That's when we know. That's when we know that God did it. And God does want to get honor and glory for it. He really does. And thank God that he does. But nothing short of a miracle. But we shouldn't be surprised, because God is a God of miracles. Amen. Surprised the doctor, didn't it? Amen. Well, God is great. Amen. Anyone else? Well, let's just have a wonderful evening as we dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do so love you, Lord. We're so thankful for your blessings, for your anointing. And God, that you are able, amen, to be found of us when we seek you. God, and when we search for you, you will be there to instruct us, to lift us up, to heal us, to encourage us. Father, I continue to pray for those of our church and our congregation who are sick, who are afflicted and suffering. I pray, God, that you would just continue to minister healing to their bodies. Be with those, Lord, who are traveling. Keep them safe. Those who are in the hospitals and the nursing homes, Father, I pray that you would comfort and protect them. Now, as we depart tonight, God, keep your hand of safety upon us, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.